So, we start by asking everyone just to introduce themselves. So, who are you? Where are you from? And what do you do?
Well, I'm Tyrone Chablis.
The Tyrone Chablis.
Me, Tyrone Chablis. Don't make me laugh. I have a little shy side to me, surfaces, even though it don't seem that way. I'm a designer, I think an artist, a promoter. I like to be consider myself someone who likes to lead or to guide others,
I do know you, yes.
I like to be a free spirit in my walk and journey. Now I learned that,
Yes.
be grateful for everything. Yes, that's who I am.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And so my follow-up question is, when did your interest in fashion begin? And can you share some of your earliest fashion memories, like some that really stand out to you as important or
Was
unusual?
important. You know what's so funny? I'm learning now. I'm understanding all of this because, being young, you take a lot of stuff for granted.
Yeah.
You don't even realize what's going on. And I was naive at what I was doing. I was just doing it. Now that I look back on it, and that's what's so funny because it just happened truly out of accident. Because learning how to be creative. I've always was a person trying to experiment. It's just making something, building something, crafting something. As a kid, I used to, make things and, try to be a professor. building shit,
Like fashion things or like object things,
Objects, chairs, furniture,
Oh, furniture.
reupholstering, all of that. Yeah, for real, I'm not joking.
Upholstery?
I loved animals. Yes, I used to build cages. So
Wow.
my fascination was early, and a lot of people used to think I was weird, because of the things that I used to like to do. I never was, my size. People think that you're outside playing sports all the time, and I like to run. I wasn't playing football and basketball, and that's why the school, the teachers in school, the gym teachers, when we were growing up back then, that's all they used to promote. Then you would find one special teacher in school, right, that's still beyond that, that recognized your gift as a, an artist, try to bring all of that out of you. Thank God for that. Because all that started, around 12 and 13, coming out, but it was, earlier than that. Now that I look back on it, I was a little kid, I was always doing stuff.
And you had, was there one teacher that you had that was like, oh wow, I see something. Like Tyrone is like building stuff or.
In junior high school, I went to Clinton Place. That's where it started. There was a, I lived on Stanley Avenue in Newark. I grew up in Newark, 10th Street. Stanley Avenue, Bergen, around that Clinton Avenue area. There was a, they had one of those, what do you call them back then? 4-H centers that we could go to. Thank God for the drill team. The drill team was so dynamic. The flamingos, I was a little kid, but I was all around that kind of stuff, And there were two teachers like Mr. Wallace, Bill Wallace, from back then, 4-H center, in school. Our teacher was from our time, Miss Tissot. I remember her. She was number one, especially for the art and fashion in arts high school, because that's the high school I went to. And going back to Clinton Place, the junior high school, we were Bourbon Street and all of that, but junior high school was Clinton Place. And I used to work in the cleaners at 12 years old, helping the owner of his tailor shop.
What?
So I kept saying, working, but I was working because he paid me for helping him, and I was sewing, and they had, a window that you sit in, because that's how you had a tele shop set up. It was a cleaner tele shop, and you the machines was in the window, so every time people walk around by in the neighborhood, they would see me in there sewing. So they had already knew that I had a love. The neighbors and the people in the block knew I had a love for that. You know, back then, it's hard because, you know, growing up, people bullied you, and they do it now. But then, you know, if you had any inkling of stuff that is out of the ordinary for them, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It always made us a target. But I never let that bother me because I could fight, and I fought for what I loved and my, you know, the art and, you know, doing my art and the fashion and making those clothes. And those same bullies from the block or the neighborhood, after all of that, turned around wanting me to sell them my things.
Wow.
Or to do stuff for them.
Yes.
So, do you understand where I'm coming from?
Yes.
What a contradiction, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that was great because it just shows you, you know, you can't let people take your dreams from you.
Yes,
you know, you can't allow for fear to drive you, and you can't allow your past or different things like that to hold you back. And I'm glad that I continued on.
Yes, that's a beautiful story. How did the tailor find you?
Well, because I lived in the neighborhood, I used to bring my clothes to the tailor shop.
Okay, okay.
And I used to, you know, and it was like, you know how where we lived, the buildings downstairs. I lived in an apartment building downstairs. They had the little corner store, a tailor shop, a barber shop, all in the same
underneath.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there was a community back then. When we grew up, you know, the fire hydrant was our hangout and all that good stuff. So you'd be out there, people know who you are.
Who you are.
Block, you know,
yeah.
People watch you. The parents took care of each other. They don't do that now like they used to do back then. And, you know, so, you know, the word gets out. People know who you are. And you knew that I was sewing because, you know, I started talking about it. And then he offered me an opportunity. And I learned from him. His name was Neil MacLucas.
Wow.
So I pay homage to Mr. Neil MacLucas, because he passed away, and I went to, you know, to a service before he, you know, they laid him to rest, and shared that same story, and that was from him, and I'm glad now that he can bring his name back up, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, wonderful. So, I found a sewing machine. My mother helped me to learn how to use the sewing machine. And that began my plight, you know, for sewing. So, you know, I had to go by patterns, but I asked her to show me, and she said that she would only show me one time. She showed me two times.
What? So,
and after that, I was on my own. But you know what? I'm the type of person, I like to figure things out, like puzzles and all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it all came, you know, practice makes perfect. And I learned some stuff to it. I learned a lot on my own. And then I went to, you know, in high school, that's where they started doing all the different programs and the fashion shows. But they did those shows, too, at Clinton Place. They had fashion shows back then.
And junior high school?
Of course. Let me see how many things I won. I won Most Popular.
Wow.
I won Best Dress. I would keep going on and on. I mean, it was, you know, it was something else. But, yeah, they used to do it back then. Like I told you, you know, you have to find yourself. So I still, you know, I was doing it, but I was still shy, which is strange. But, you know,
I identify with that, though. Yeah.
Huh?
No, I said there's a part of me that identifies with that when you know you have like, you know you have a talent, but and you want the work to speak for itself, but you don't necessarily want the other stuff that comes with it, you know.
Yeah, and I thank God for all the people that saw that and tried to help me along the way.
Yeah.
Because there were so many people that, you know, some good ones that, you know, tried to open doors and help me along the way. Yeah.
Amazing.
From Arts High School, you know, I was doing my own shows. I used to give shows, pageants, competitions, Battle of the High School Models, Battle of the College versus the Models, the designer shows. I used to have a program called Cover Kids for the new kids. And see, that's how I got sidetracked. You know, because I was doing so many things.
Mm.
And I forgot my own focus as far as my you know, even though you're doing fashion shows, because I think one of my friends told me, and also I mentioned this when we were in the museum, that Emily Miles, you know, said the same thing to me about having too many hats and doing too many things. But he also told me that you could be the best you can be in your own community, even when you feel like you're not succeeding anyplace else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I never understood that, but I understand that now because of the accolades and different things that people are saying to me at this point, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what's beautiful.
So after attending Arts High School, you decided that, like, I know you went to Trap Hagen, which is a college, right?
Yeah, that was Associates College, Trap Hagen School of Design.
Can you talk about that, like, that experience and how you got in? Can you talk about that experience? Like, at that point in high school, did you decide, like, all right, I want to be a designer, like, that's going to be my career, and then you applied to Trap Hagen, and then...
You know what's so strange even about that, too, because, you know, you're working. I did always claim, you know, being a designer, that's, you know, and then I had that opportunity. I didn't know why. I looked at SIT and, you know, Parsons, and I don't know why Trap Hagen stood out, but I'm glad I went there, too.
Yeah.
That was a wonderful experience. I won quite a few different awards there and had a good opportunity. Dorothy Hellman, she was the director of that school at that time, and she really tried to get me through school because I was struggling a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know. And you know, you think you know everything when you don't, you know, because I was doing so many outside events and working. I was doing a lot of programs, and you know, I was distracting myself from leaving school, but I got through it, thank God. But she was a big instrument for that. They had the Union Label, they had a program there where they gave scholarships, and I won that scholarship.
Okay.
It was wonderful. Look for the Union Label.
Yes.
That was in 82 and all of that good stuff. And they had a Designer Shipley Award, where, you know, like textiles and fabrics. And, you know, I had won that, you know, that contest. And Douglas, he was one of my peers in school, Douglas Sets.
Yeah.
We shared that school together. And another one of my friends that I didn't even know, well, he was somebody that, you know, I grew up with. His name was Rafik Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
He went to that school. He came out of the same junior high school I did, and another young lady, Cheryl Head. And see, these are people that was inspired by, you don't even know, me as well, and some of the things that I was doing, but never said it until after the fact.
Wow.
So, you know, how many people you motivate along the way and encourage. And I was just told that again. As now, as I look back on all of those little programs that I ain't gonna call them little no more.
Yeah, no.
And they helped and they inspired a lot of upcomers. Like, you got all these new people out here now from Newark, or, you know, who have watched all of us grow and got inspired. And now they're doing it. You know what I mean? So, Newark is doing the same with our youth and fashion. And, you know, you got the new fashion school in Newark now. I wish I had that.
Yeah, the high school, right?
Exactly. We didn't have that. We had your home ec class, you know, your home ec teacher, and a man like myself or a boy like myself who went in home ec over going to play basketball was shunned. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or, you know, but we couldn't let that stop us. So thank God, you know, for people like the teachers that recognize your gift and push you so that you don't get trapped. You have a net. You know, it guides you and open those extra doors for you, like those programs and opportunities to show you to keep on pushing, you know?
Yes.
Serious.
And it was there, is it there that you kind of like defined your aesthetic? Like, I know you, you used the word sustainability and like how you turn things, like take old things and turn them into new things. Was it at Trap Hagen that you like started that?
That happened while I was in that tailor shop. I was out here doing fashion shows with big people, At 13 and 14, they thought I was like 16, 17 years old, how advanced I was. And, you know, I created, I used to like to work with a lot of Love and Sway. Mm. So that's what started it. They tried to brand me then, you know, and I used to do a lot of, make a lot of like leather outfits and, you know, suede outfits. And, you know, I never tried to claim any of that. You know, I just used to like to do, suits and like tailor clothes. And then I started to discover, in that, sustainability when I used to find a bunch of stuff in the garbage or on the streets that people threw away. And like the Cheers, you know, how we reinvented. That started, and it just happened. It was never a name for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was never a name for it back then. We never, you know, some people recognize, you know, how many times can you flip a garment? I mean, you could flip an outfit, you know, millions of times and taking pieces from it and retransforming into something else. You know?
Yeah.
That's why I was going to do a collection called Chrysalis at one time, Transformation, because of the way, you know, clothes, I mean, the way clothes are and the way that we could make things like reborn or something new.
Yeah.
That's where it started from high school and college at the same time. And I just never claimed that. It was just always an art. It was just always, I used to love streetwear, urban wear, and I never knew that that's what it became until Carl Kanai and people like that, you know. And then, you know, when hip hop came out and then they, you know, they put a label to that, and then you find yourself a part of all of these things, but you're not claiming it. You're just living your realities through your fashion, through your art, and you're part of the landscape that's transforming every time. And you're trending too, because you're creating trends. You know, because some of the garments I made was trendy for some people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They always say you're ahead of yourself.
And this was the 80s?
You're ahead of your time. This was the 80s and 90s, yes.
So I'm interested, because you mentioned Carl Kanai. I'm like, were there any other designers that you really liked? Like, or that you were wearing?
My favorite designers.
Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah, that was then, you know. But we have our eyes set on, like, remember they used to have programs that you used to watch on TV once in a while, like Style, Elsa Clinch, you know. One of my favorites is Edith Head. She was that Hollywood designer that was putting all those clothes out back in the day. Remember?
Yes, the costume designer.
Marilyn Monroe and all of those people.
Yes.
People like, yeah, she was an inspiration.
Yes.
Alexander McQueen is my inspiration.
Yes.
Cherry Mugler, he's my inspiration. Okay. Izzy Miyake, you know?
Yes.
Those type of people. They, you know, I got my, because, you know, I told you I'm straight. And I like things that are kind of like architecturally done.
Yes.
You know? And that's, I guess that's why those clothes that are recreated out of something old, or something, you know, you're making something new out of it. I think that's probably where that even comes from.
Yes.
Interesting.
I love that.
Me too.
Can you talk about, like, I mean, you talked a little bit about it, but can you talk more about what the design scene in Newark looked like? Like, how did people find out about fashion shows? Like, was it just through, like, I mean, there wasn't social media, so was it just, like,
let me tell you,
flyers, or?
Social media was the word getting out. Flyers hitting the streets. Poles being tagged with flyers and rap.
Yes.
Remember back then? The scene was always on fire, to be honest. And Club Cayenne was one of those places that shows occurred, became a, you know, one of the headquarters. You had downtown Newark, Paradiso, help me out with the,
I'm like, what other venues?
There were so many. Lachiques, there was Albert Murphy, there was, Shelton Hayes, people doing programs and fashion shows, Mother's Day, everybody had a day, Father's Day. It was just nonstop fashion. You had Ebony Fashion Fair, you know, Jet Magazine. All those things created, you know, for us, you know, those that feeling. You had people like I said, Emily Miles, and people of Newark that was out here
living their reality. Wesley Tan. These are people from Newark back then. You know, that you got inspired by, that were that pushed, made you want to be like them. If you understand where I'm coming from,
I do.
So, it's amazing. Newark has always been doing its thing, and you know what's so funny is all of these designers. It's like a show to everybody. You know, a never ending show. And so many people have evolved and have gone on through this, I want to say, channel.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, called Newark Fashion.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm serious. Or Newark leading the way. Or people, you know, say, well, New York is fashion, the fashion capital. No, we're right next door. This is the capital, too. You know, I think you should stop here sometime on your way to New York. So, yes.
Yes. And like, I mean, I think you mentioned some of the promoters, but were there any, like, were you also a promoter, or were there, like, who were the other fashion show promoters who were organizing the shows, like at Essex County or Terrace Ballroom or?
Well, you have people like.
Or any of the models, even.
Essex County, and you had Miss Teresa Randolph, Miss JT Productions, Full Figure, you know, John Blasingame of, you know, New Day Associates. From, he was out of Linden. This is early years. This man's been doing this now for 48 years.
Wow.
Lisa Randolph from Newark, 34 years, young. Myself, I used to promote shows, I just told you.
Yes.
Fashion for myself. You know, the Battle of the High Schools. All of those colleges that gave fashion shows. We everybody that is a designer had opportunities of doing these shows, from William Patterson, King University, Essex County College, Gerald Holloway, who had his opportunity, you know, to do his fashion shows. They started off in the cafeteria first, you know. Remember, then they moved into the gym, and look how many people go into that gym. Thousands of people they had up in there.
Yeah.
So that was the stage, and, you know, we enjoyed it. From New York fashion shows, you know, Juju Models, with Julie Mumford, you know, working with all of these different people, Shayla Simpson, Lenny Green, you know, Tyson Bedford, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so many different people, so many different people.
Oh, my goodness.
So many different people.
And so how did you start being a fashion commentator? Like, how did that happen?
Magically delicious.
Because I was doing research in the Newark Library, and I saw a flyer that had your name on it. It was from 1982. It said,
"That's not long ago."
It said fashion show. It said NYC fashion commentator Tyrone Chablis, and I said, "Wow."
That happened truly by accident too. And that happened like one day the commentator didn't make it. And they asked me, would I go out there and try to talk? Or I said, I'll do it. Not knowing what the hell I was getting myself into, to be honest with you. And, oh, man, I was so, the term is nervous, but you don't realize it's a, what kind of nervous is that?
Like an excited? Like a.
Yeah, like now, like how we talking with this interview, nervous.
But it's good. It's like, yes.
Yeah, excited. But it happened magically because, you know, it just started flowing, and it was just coming, you know, from here and there, out of nowhere. The conversation, I just was going with the flow of the models walking and just talking stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's how it started. I feel like that was my very first, and I don't know the name of the organization, but I know I was at Rutgers.
Okay.
When I did my first true, I'm in front of people and I'm a host this show. And I did it. You know, my cousin came up to me, and she gave me a big hug, said, oh, my God, you were so good.
Oh, my gosh.
And ever since then, it just went. It just snowballed.
And were you in high school at that point?
Yes, I was in high school.
Wow. Okay.
I did high school. So I had their shows, too. And, you know, like, we turned it out. I used to make, you know, that's my designing in arts high school. I hosted for Trapezium when they had our, you know, our grand show at the end of the year. And
yeah.
It was time for graduation, and they do the shows for the designers. I hosted their show.
Wow.
Still not knowing what I was doing because I was, and you know, to be honest, now that I look back even on that, I was young. And, you know, who knew?
Yeah.
And I had the opportunity to host cable programs, and I'm posting old shows now from back in the day. I had my own Comcast cable shows, and I worked with other different producers like James McClain, and, you know, we did the photo modeling show, the Tyrone Chapley show, the awesome television show, or, my other friend, Gadol, you know, Wilson, and traveling with him with Miss World pageants, and, you know, that's dope when I got a chance to go overseas a lot and hanging out and doing all of those things. Just, you know, those blessings, they just came. And all of that started from commentary. Can you believe it?
No, I didn't even know. I mean, you know, I've obviously done research about you, and I've seen a lot of your shows, or, like, you interviewing other models and designers online, yeah. But, I mean, you said you were traveling? Like, you were, like, where were you traveling?
Oh, my God. Well, you know, of course, we do all our back and forth from in the United States, you know, the whole thing, New York, Washington, Florida, Philly, wherever it takes. But overseas, a little, the Euro scene, too, a little, you know, France and London and, you know,
wow,
things like that. And, you know, but I, like I said, I was young. At the time, a lot of that shouldn't even realize I'm standing in front of the palace of the queen. You
wow.
know? You understand? And you don't even realize, you know, you walking over, you know, you by Big Ben, or you walking over, let's say, you know, and, you know, so many places. I'm excited just to talk about it.
I know. It sounds like you were just, it seems like you were just living in the moment. And so, like, now you're trying to, like, backtrack and, like, recall all these amazing memories.
Yes.
That's really exciting. That sounds so exciting and inspiring.
It was fun. It still is. Yeah, it still is. I still have passion for it. You know, I've gone out to try out for a couple of reality shows, but I am not transforming myself to be something that I'm not, to be on somebody's TV show. You know, I don't want to be a character, if that's what it takes, or the villain. Because I'm that every day. You know, just trying to survive. But, you know, it's just cool. Everything is good.
Oh my gosh. So, like, was there ever a moment, because I, like, my next question is, when did you formally establish your brand? So, like when did you actually decide, like, okay, like, this is, I'm gonna turn, like I'm not just making clothes, but this is, like, Tyrone Chablis the brand, like, or the fashion line?
That has been from day one. The day
from
first
day
you
one.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's from day one. That was from day one.
Wow.
Day one. That's been a long time for me as well, right?
Yes, I love it. And how would you describe your design aesthetic? Like, I mean, you said before, like, no one was using the word sustainable, but, like, I guess
no.
Today,
I call
would
it
you
now,
yeah.
I'm using now sustainable couture.
Ooh, okay.
That's the terminology I have for it. If I'm doing anything that's reconstructed or made from something repurposed, or not letting something go in the landfill, and I'm building it up and giving it the, I put my heart into everything I try to do when it comes to fashion and doing something called couture. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
I like to be creative that way. But that's what I like to call that. But I like evening, you know, that's it. Evening and fine tailoring.
Yeah.
That's really who I am. And, you know, I had a tailor shop. You know, I had two shops, but I had a tailor shop, and I concentrated on that. That became overwhelming, too, because, you know.
You had the one in Bloomfield.
I was in Bloomfield. I was in East Orange. You know, I worked. I just told you, Taylor's shop out of Newark at 13, working out of it. And I think that's probably where that came from.
Yeah.
You know, and that got locked into my head. But that took over my life, and it took away from my art. Because when I opened my shop, it was supposed to be for designing. You know, like a design place for selling clothes. And, you know, that prom dress, you know, I love that. You know, that's theater and drama.
Yes.
You know, we put some of our best ideas out there for those young ladies, but that took over too, and that's very much taxing on your energy sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
But that's why I only take on two or three clients when I do that. I don't try to save the world. You know, I want to make 20 prom dresses. If I can make one or two beautiful gowns, I'm good with that. And helping somebody feel good. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. You still do prom dresses?
Once in a while, yeah. I'll say yeah. Okay. You know, you have people that grew up, their generation, and people hold on to you for 18 years.
Yeah.
wait for their kid. You get ready. That's how it is for some of us.
Wow. I mean, that's also beautiful, though, because that means they trust in your talent.
Yes. And, you know, these designers out here are banging it out. There's a lot of designers up and coming that are out here putting it in every day.
Mm.
And I just watched another tape last night, a gentleman talking about where his inspiration came from. Interview I did. And he spoke of, you know, like yourself, he said me. And then he started naming all these people from the past. Some of them are no longer here, like Angel Claudio, you know, now Vernis Moore, who just passed away.
Yes.
And when you're hearing these names, you say to yourself, wow, you know, and I threw out some names earlier that people are no longer here. So you understand?
Yeah, yeah.
This is great that we're getting a chance to let people know this.
I think so, too, because I'm like.
Yeah. Raheem Mann. He's not here.
I remember this part. I remember. Yes.
You know, Raheem? Come on.
Yes.
You know? Wow. It's a lot. It's beautiful. Go on.
It is beautiful. I mean, I'm smiling because I'm like, I didn't grow up in Newark. My family's from Jersey City, but I still grew up, like, going to Essex County fashion shows and... So, like, and seeing you at the tailor shop. So, it's beautiful.
Yeah. And you know what's so funny about that, Christian? You held on to all of that, too. And every time I see you, you have always embraced me and reminded me of all of that. You know
yes.
what I'm saying? And that's so touching to me because that means I touched you, too.
You did!
You know what that is? And you know what's so funny? I hear now, it's like not just one generation or two. It's like three. Because some of these people got great-great-grandkids now.
Yes.
And they out here, they putting them on the runway. Do you understand me?
Yes. Yes.
I'm not joking.
Like, I remember walking home from Bloomfield High School, and I used to pass your shop.
Yes.
And, yep, you fixed one of my dresses for me that I wore to prom. Yep.
Well, I'm glad that I met you.
Me too.
That's how God is. He does things, and now you look back on all of that. There's a reason for all of this, you know? And you might not be sometime in your mind where you want to be, but you are there if you see it differently, you know? You got to see it differently, and you got to move and stay moving in where you are, you know? If that makes any sense. You're leaving the mark every time.
Yes.
It's a little breadcrumb. So that's cool.
Yes.
It is.
So I'm like, we talked about the shows and how you are a commentator and all the modeling troupes you used to organize. And I was also wondering, though, because I know every time I see you at an event, you got your camera out, you're taking pictures, like you're interviewing people, like you're trying to document the moment. And so I wanted to ask you, you know, why is that so important to you? Like, why is it so important to you to like document the moment and to have these interviews and stuff?
Some of these people, some people don't even know some of these people out here in our world or in this world. And now some people got to know some of these people through that situation or that world with some of even getting to know me. That's just another part of their commentary phase.
Mm.
You see, that blossomed out of that. That hosting, being a host, you know. Now I know when I get in front of people, like, you know, this is not an act.
Yes.
You know, I know the difference between when I have to act and when it's genuine. Mm-hmm. And when I host, I try to be genuine, you know. And I've inspired a lot of other people. There were several hosts, as we said, commentators. Like, you remember L.A. Suave, Ron Duavion,
Lenny Hamilton, Rahman Ali. This is people in Newark. So that could be a conversation one day you guys can have. The host.
Yes.
Carol Lucas, Joyce Hancock. It's a long list. So, and I think that media aspect is just, you know, by going back to thanking God for like James McClain or even Sidney Barnes and different people that I did, LSTV did interviews for and taking in, you know, just Jerry Gant. He said document.
Mm.
And they show a lot of, Jerry Gant got a lot of work from documentation.
Were you guys friends? Yeah. Like, how did you meet him?
We were. Yeah. Two of the best.
Wow.
Friends through Linda Street. I knew him prior to, but connected with her and Jerry at the same time too, again, which is strange and funny how all of that was, but I've always known him. Mm. And Darius was a piece of work. He was. He wrote me something, and I saved it. And I said, "I'm gonna pull this up. I might bring his name up." This was July 22nd, 2014. He would give me a book. 6:15 is when he read it to my beloved Tyrone. May the prayers of this book serve you as confirmation that your ideas, schemes, story, full spirit, continue. Oh, see, it's blinking. Wow. Yeah, see what I'm saying? It's so much more. And his handwriting is like, all right, Jerry was something else. Wow. I feel like I'm standing right here talking to you. He's right here while we're talking.
Oh, my goodness. Don't do that.
It's real. I'm grateful for him and grateful for Linda Street. You know, we had the store up in Montclair. She had a shop in Montclair, and she allowed me to come up in there and work out of it with her. And Over the Edge was the name of that store. And we did some beautiful, Raheem Mann was in there with us, and we used to battle up in there. Jerry Gant, art, fashion. And let me tell you, we used to put it out. You hear me? Yeah, see?
Oh,
yeah, that's history.
Yes.
That's all history.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. And I'm like, so I want to ask you one more question about yourself, and then I actually want to ask you a question about Emily Miles, if you don't mind.
Sure.
But my last question for you is, I'll just ask it. What are your dreams for the impact of, like, the Tyrone Chablis legacy? Like, do you, or is it just, you know, is the legacy everything that you just said? Like, all the amazing things you've done?
I think it's more of that.
Yeah.
Because there's more to come. And that's up to other people that, you know, to also help. I mean, I laid some of the and shared myself.
Yeah.
And whoever I became good friends with and close to, and, you know, and some people misread you. There's always misunderstandings. But, you know, those things can be corrected. The thing of it is, I know that I helped and inspired a lot of people. Mm. And I know that I motivated and helped a lot of people. And I that's what I'm going to continue to do until, you know, it's my time to say goodbye. And watching this funeral that I just attended with our friend, our beloved Berners,
yeah,
it showed me that the community cares.
Yeah.
And I know I have some friends out there that care about me. And whatever they decide or how they decide to do, if it's walking down the block with some candles, let it be what it has to be. But I always will be remembered for, you know, doing what I did throughout. You know what I'm saying?
I do, yes. That's beautiful. Yeah.
They always say, "Well, you remember Tyrone Chablis?"
I mean, even when I spoke to Linda, when I spoke to Linda and we were talking about the exhibition, she was like, "Well, I know y'all have Tyrone on that list." I was like, "Yes, we do."
You know, Linda is one of my best friends, mm-hmm. and one of the biggest advocates for me. I'm so grateful that I got to meet her, you know?
Yeah, yep.
I'm serious. She's, you know, serious. It's just some people are meant to be in your life.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so I know, like, that when we, I know before you mentioned, like, you had a relationship with Wesley Tan. I think you lived at his home at one point or something. But I was also wondering about Emily Miles. Like, how did you meet her? Like, I mean, because I'm trying to do research about her, and it's actually kind of hard.
No, it's not. You know who you need to talk to?
I feel like I need to talk to people to learn about her, because, like, yeah, so
you
I'm like...
got to talk directly to Lawrence Levins. That's just her family.
Okay.
If that finish having, you know, we, Kent Terrain had created the Emily Miles Lifetime Achievement Award, and he was honoring models, and he did Joyce Hancock, he gave the award to. I hosted the program. She's still hosting.
Yeah.
And Rosalind Johnson, one of those top models from Newark, made it big, traveled to Paris, all of that. Now he's doing the Crystal Award, where he's giving away. It will be December the 9th. It'll be the first show. So why don't you come out and bring a friend to be my guest?
Yes, okay. I would love to come.
And I'll send you the flyer so you can see it. That's going to be the Crystal. It's down at Dutchess in Newark. That's where he's having it at. And he's going to be giving Raw Magazine, Jade, Murphy an award, Coco Michelle, one of the old models from back in the day. Okay. So it's just so many different things going on. Hold on just one second. Hi. When the what?
Award season. Yes.
I think so. Yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Actually, about the councils who don't get this area.
But how did you meet Emily, though? Like, how did you meet her?
Now, back to her. For Lawrence Levins, I'm going to try to give you his number so you can have it.
Yes.
If you don't have his number, so you can call and talk. Because he's family. They just had Dr. Moody, and they're getting ready to...
Oh, that's her nephew, right? Yeah.
Yeah, started something for her. Now they're getting ready to get into trying to bring her out and talk more about everything that she was and doing for Newark and where she came from, her history. Yeah, you can find... Lawrence will give it to you. The things he told me blew me away.
Okay.
I met her through passing as a young man. Once again, not realizing that blessing I had. You understand?
Yeah.
And her sharing her knowledge with me, you know? I was grateful for that moment that I had, you know? And through my friend, like I said, Ralph Wilson, Gadon Wilson, we did so many wonderful things with so many beautiful people. She was one of them.
Well, I would love to have his number because I think I saw some kind of email flying around at the museum that he's also a milliner and that he trained with her.
Yeah, that's her. That's him. That's who you need to.
So I would love to talk to him.
Yes, 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 yes. I'm gonna make sure you get his number and you get everything you need. He sent a bio out the whole nine. Did you see that?
No.
Let me see. I'm going to see if I can find that now.
Yes.
Okay, let me see where I can find that. Go ahead, I'm listening to you.
No, I was going to say anything that you can share with me, even if you text it or take a picture of it, anything.
I'm going to do that for you because I know how important this is. We both know
up a lot. And I think he's actually going to, I think he's going to like recreate one of her hats and give it to us.
Is he? Yes, because he does the same thing.
So
okay, you're already good. That's who you need to be to get all of that from.
Okay.
Believe me. That's who you need to get it from.
I will do that.
No, because he came behind me, he made sure that I had the right information. That I'm not out here talking. Do you understand? Yeah.
Oh, when you did the commentating?
Of course, you know, when they give the bio.
Yeah.
And I know that's my phone somewhere. I would just have to, you know, try to look for it and give that to you. But, you know, my moment with him, that I appreciated, you know, finding out that, trust me, especially when Kent gave the last award.
Mm.
And he took time to talk to me about her. And all her family came out. I have a little bit on video.
What?
Grandfather, yeah,
she's, you know, she had the grand, I made her graduate walk for me. You know, they're older people, you understand that.
Yeah.
They came out. So, yeah, try to go directly to the family.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. This has been amazing.
Yeah, talk directly to the family.
You're amazing. Thank you.
You're welcome. God is amazing.